What a great video, huh? So, yeah. Well, greetings, saved ones. I like what Pastor Aleem said. If you're saved and you know it, say amen. Amen. You know what? We have reason to rejoice. And, you know, this Tuesday at 12 a.m. in the morning, we will officially close out 2018 and enter a brand new year called 2019. If the Lord tarries. If he doesn't, 2019 or into 2018 will be fantastic, you know. But if he tarries, we'll enter into a new year unless that second advent happens. And it's hard to believe. How many of you it's hard to believe that 2018 is drawing to a close? It just flew by. Where has the time gone? And, you know, I think we've all heard the saying that says, time flies when you're having fun. But that's true, but in reality, time flies whether you're having fun or not. It just flies by, and, you know, sometimes it's not so fun. So today, I want to just ask you a question kind of as we start off this morning. How many of you don't mind getting 2018 behind you, getting a fresh start, a clean slate, because of some experience that, if you were just to describe them, weren't all that fun? Anybody? Just really kind of glad 2018? You know, if you're like me, you need an etch-and-sketch moment. Anybody here don't know what an etch-and-sketch is? Okay? If you don't know what an etch-and-sketch is, you have missed out in your childhood. You know, an etch-and-sketch, you do all the stuff on it, and then when you're finally done, you can turn it over and start all over. How many of you are looking forward to an etch-and-sketch moment? Yeah, amen. You see, part of our struggles in life, at least mine, is hanging on to the past, particularly the bad stuff. We hang on to it. It's part of the human nature to try to hang on to the past, especially the negative stuff, or to just live in the past. And we use statements like this: coulda, woulda, shoulda. Anybody with me here? Coulda, woulda, shoulda. You look back and you say, man, I coulda, I woulda, I should have. Or we say things like this: hindsight is 20/20. But we use those statements in a kind of a negative context, wishing somehow, some way, we could have done things differently or things could have turned out differently than they did. Again, anybody here with me this morning? There's some things in 2018 that could have, would have, should have, you wish it had turned out differently. I mean, let's just get real. We're going to be, it's going to be a long, you'll get out early if you interact with me, okay? You don't interact, we're going to be here a while. How many of you would like to see some of that stuff go bye-bye? You know, yeah, there you go. Yeah, amen. So, all right, somebody's wanting out real quick. All right. You know, I think deep down inside of us, we all understand that we can't change the past. We know that. But we also need to realize that each of us has a choice about the past. Amen. Each of us have a choice about the past. We can get changed there, or we can get chained there. Let me just give you a quote that God gave me this week as I was preparing this, and it is that the past will either chain us or it will change us. And the Bible tells us that I, the Lord, do not change. God doesn't change, but that doesn't mean he doesn't expect us to. God is in the change business. We are not perfect. We are being perfected, and that requires change. And so living in the past, many of us, you know, just have the whole coulda, woulda, shoulda, and we can't see forward because we keep looking in the past. And Henry David Thoreau once said this. He said, never look back unless you're planning on going that way. Now, I understand what he means, but I want you to know, too, that the Bible teaches us that it is appropriate from time to time and necessary for us to glance in the rearview mirror to help us orient as we're going forward. Just this last week, I just happened to look up in the rearview mirror and someone was about to hit me, and I was able to swerve out of the way, and it kept me moving forward in the right direction. And we know that every once in a while, we do need to look back and reflect on the past, and the Bible teaches us to do that so that we can effectively move forward. So that's what we're going to do this morning together. So if you have your Bibles this morning, we're just going to spend just a few minutes looking at the past, in order to prepare us for what God has in store for 2019. And I have to tell you, based on what God has done in the past, he has got a great plan for you and me in the future. the best days are yet to come. They're coming, church, they're coming. And I'm glad that you're here and want to be a part of that. So if you have your Bibles, I want to ask you to turn to the book of Psalm 105, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 6. Psalm 105, verses 1 through 6. Once you get there, you can stand, so I'll know that you're there. If you don't have it, we'll have it on the screen. But I want us to read this aloud together, Psalm 105. Do we have that on the screen? All right. Now, I've underlined these words. There are several words I want to underline. There's a reason for that. So when we get to the underlined words, you got to emphasize that a little bit more, okay? So it's not like give thanks, it's give thanks. All right, you with me? Can we do that together? All right, here we go. We're going to read this together. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. Give thanks to Yahweh. Call on His name. Proclaim His deeds among the people. Sing to Him. Sing praise to Him. Tell of all about His wonderful works. Honor His holy name. And let the hearts of those who seek Yahweh rejoice. Now that one we ought to get loud on. Rejoice! He says, search for the Lord for his strength. Seek His face always. And remember the wonderful works He has done. His wonders and the judgment He has pronounced. You offspring of Abraham, His servant. Jacob's descendants, His chosen ones. Let's pray. God, thank You that You said You wanted to be in relationship with us. Thank You that You chose us to display Your love. Guide us now. Lead us. Direct us. Speak to every person right where they're at spiritually this morning. And God, my prayer is that none of us will leave the same way that we came in. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I want you to look back, if we can, put those words back up on the screen, if we can, or in your copy of the Scripture or your Bible app there. I want you to notice those words that we underlined. Those words, there are 10 action words. Those are all action words. Give, call, proclaim, sing, tell, honor, rejoice, search, and seek, and remember. Now check this out. This is really cool when you really begin to kind of study the Scripture and in the process you're saying, God, show me what it is You want me to learn from this. And this is what He showed me. All of these are descriptors of how the Christian life is supposed to look. These are all things that if you are a believer, remember we said we saved, and we know it, and we said what, amen? That this should describe our lives. These 10 words are descriptors for the Christian life, the life of a person that has experienced the personal advent of Jesus Christ in their life. If God has taken up residence, you've proclaimed that you agree with Him, that you are a sinner, you've missed the mark, you ask Him for forgiveness, you invite Him to become the Lord of your life, to take up residence in your life and lead you and guide you. This is for you, and this is what God, through the Holy Spirit, begins to do. He begins to change us from the inside out, and these become part of our lives. I love what Pastor Aleem said a few minutes ago. Giving is not just to give. It is a descriptor because God gave. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Give, and it'll come back to you. Press down and put in your lap more than you can hold. It'll come back to you. God is a God of giving, and if God is in us, we are to be a people that give. Amen? I know that's hard, but call, proclaim. We see these words. If Jesus is in our heart, that these are descriptors, and I encourage you this week, if you've got no other Bible study, look at Psalm 105 and begin to focus on these 10 descriptors. But check this out. It gets even better. I want you to start not from the front, but from the back. Especially this last Sunday of the year, if we will begin to look at this same list, but start with the word remember, I would challenge us to understand this truth. If you and I will remember what God has done for us, we can't help but seek Him. We can't help but search for Him. We can't help but rejoice in all the things that He has done. We can't help but honor Him when we look back at what God has done. We can't help but tell others. We'll sing, we'll proclaim, we'll call, and we will give, and there'll be no griping. We'll do it gladly because we remembered what Jesus Christ did for us because He loves us. This is the Christian life. And as we look back, and sometimes in our lives we're so busy, we need to stop and look back and say, God, thank You. thank you, God, for all that you've done. There's an old hymn, and some of you will know this, and some of it will date me. It says, count your many blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. Count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. You know, God is always at work. The Bible says he doesn't sleep, nor does he slumber. God is always active in our lives, and he's blessing us and preparing us. And remembering helps us. It encourages us to live out our faith and experience life, the adventure that we've been talking about the last few weeks, as God planned it. God didn't give his life and create new birth and new life in you and me for us to be a bunch of spiritual Eeyores. You know Winnie the Pooh? Oh, well, I love Jesus. You know, he created this new life in us, and when we look back, it begins to change us, and it helps keep us focused on moving forward for the adventure that he's planned for us. I want to show you what I mean. This morning is going to be a little bit different. We're just going to look back a little bit, and I want to name some things that I have looked back as I was sitting in my office and planning for this service. I want to share for some personal things, and then I want to share with you, take us down memory lane, if you will, to just point out a few of the things that God has done in my life and in the life here at Connect. Are you ready for that? So here, let me just start out personally. As I look back, August 4th, Karen and I had another marriage, wedding anniversary we celebrated, 34 years of marriage together. I thank God for that. That's a blessing of the Lord. It's not the norm these days. I think back of August of this last year as well, when our little granddaughter Amelia was diagnosed with a fatal, rare heart condition that, if not addressed, would kill her. And we know that many of you were praying for her, and she went into the hospital. They cracked that little 18-month-old heart or chest open, went in and fixed that heart, and 4 days later she was home. And now that they're saying she would be a cardiology patient the rest of her life. She went back and you were still praying, and the doctor says, I don't know what happened, but she's not a cardiology patient anymore. Sure, her heart is perfect. Man, I tell you what, if that don't get you excited about what God can do in my personal life. I took an amazing, God privileged me with the blessing of going with 27 people from our church and took a life-changing trip to Israel to be where Jesus was, to walk on the streets that Jesus walked on, to open my Bible, and now the maps make sense in the back, you know? And just praising God and getting ready to go here in a few weeks and going back and just thanking God that he let me go. And, hey, I took another year of life. I'll be 57. I turned 56 this last year. I'm 56 years old. You know, I could have not been 56 years old. As Pastor Aleem said, some didn't make it. Many of you were praying. I'm thanking God yesterday and today and the couple of days as I drove up. Many of you saw the Facebook and many of you began to pray. My mother last year was diagnosed with breast cancer, and she had a lumpectomy, and it came back even more aggressively. And so on Friday, my mother had a mastectomy. And I have to tell you, she got out of surgery about 9:30. By 12, she took her last meds. Then yesterday, they dismissed her from the hospital, and on her way home, she and my brother stopped and had lunch at a restaurant, and she has no pain meds. Now, you tell me that that's not worth praising God over. Tuesday, in 2 days, Tuesday will be my 6th anniversary here as your pastor at Connect Church. To me, I praise God. You may be not doing that, but I am. You survived me, and I survived you for 6 years. You know, praise the Lord. And I did this year what nobody ever thought I would ever do. Just recently, I traded my truck. I'm no longer in a pickup truck. I'm driving a sedan. You know, it's used, but it's mine. And so, God, all in all, for Jay McFadden, it has been a great year. So I can just, if I just stopped there and really took time to think about all the nuances of what God did in each of those situations, it would encourage me to know I can trust him in the future. Now, there were negative things. There were things that were very difficult. There were times of discouragement. But I believe what God wants us to think about is to focus on the good things. Focus on the holy things. Focus on the righteous things. I think you could probably go to Philippians chapter 4. I think you could look in there and you'll see that's where we're focused on. Because what there's a real, and I shared this with you years ago, what you focus on is kind of in the direction you'll head. My father-in-law, I mean, he died many years ago, but and I've told this story often, but it's the best analogy I know how. He was so proud, he bought a Mitsubishi Galant diesel four-door, and it was brown, and it was ugly. But he loved that car. And so he invited Karen and I to go down to Munich, which is about a 2.5-3 hour drive. And we're driving down. And if you've ever been down to Bavaria, it's beautiful. But and his name was Eric, which is my son is named after. Where Eric looked, Eric drove. I mean, the car was swerving, and we're like, "Whoa, how?" And so on the way back, I said, "Eric, I have to tell you," and I this is true confession here. I lied. I wasn't a pastor then. Okay. I said, Eric, all my life I've dreamed of driving a Mitsubishi Galant. Would you allow me to drive your car back to Nuremberg? And we got back safe. Lord forgive me. But, you know, we have a tendency to focus on the negative. Well, let's talk a little bit about the positive, what's happened here at Connect Ministry-wise. This last year, we introduced 5+ different message series that we had prayed about and asked God to lead us in that would hopefully benefit you, help you become stronger in your faith. We had some speakers, various speakers come in. We had various individual sermons. But hopefully, and I look back, one thing that I think I could stand before God and say is that we preached His Word. We preached the gospel of Jesus Christ here at this church. And we tried to stay true to the Scripture. We taught the Word of God. There were 6+ discipleship classes that met here throughout the year on Sunday mornings. There were 11 different small groups or life groups meeting throughout the community. I had the privilege and responsibility on multiple occasions to provide counseling. And folks dealing with relational issues, with chemical issues, with just emotional issues, with all kinds of different issues, and marital and financial. And God allowed that to happen and to hopefully help people through some difficult times. You probably don't know this, but the Arlington City Council, each time before they meet, they ask a local pastor to come and pray over the meeting, and I was able to open 2018 and close 2019 for Arlington City Council, praying over those leaders and praying for direction, even in the midst of some disunity through this latest election. We had groups come in. You might have seen some of them, but we had 7 different groups come in, and we have showers in our, you've probably noticed that, in our bathrooms. And so groups from all over, from Mississippi and Louisiana and other places, come and say, can we stay while we go and minister at Mission Arlington, or while we go out and help with the flooded homes out in Alvarado and Venus and places like that. 7 different groups. We as a church hosted them and let them stay here. We welcomed at least 9 new partners here to Connect. 13 are waiting for the partnership class here in a couple of weeks. So, yeah, amen. Amen. Our children's ministry. Man, our children's ministry is dynamic. Stacy is doing such a great job. She hosted 16+ children's event. We had, I think, 9 children that were, their parents dedicated themselves to the Lord. We don't call it children's dedication, we call it parent dedication, because if the parents will raise them up in the way that they should go, the Bible promises that when they're old, they'll return to that, they'll not turn from that. We sent 9 kids to camp. We had 61 children that we ministered through Vacation Bible Study this year. Those kids raised $250 at the lemonade stand, not for themselves, yeah, not for themselves, but they used that money to sponsor 3 children on that Christmas tree, that angel tree, the great gift away. Those kids did that. Those kids gathered enough stuff to stuff a bunch of purses for the Metroplex Women's Clinic for women who had needs, who were about to have babies, and they stuffed them full of supplies, and the kids did that. They donated a van load of stuffed animals to our first responders. When the first responders go to some of these difficult things, like people losing their homes to a fire, that officer or that fireman can hand that child a stuffed animal and hopefully bring them some comfort in the middle of that situation. Our children, your children, our church did that. Our student ministry, led by Pastor Jared, they had 16 of our students go to student camp. They're getting ready to go again. They had 11 students participate in some mission trips. 18 participated in the fall retreat to learn how to be more a disciple of Jesus Christ. Jared and his team hosted 19 student events throughout the year, including some of those what's called all-city worship. And our very own Jared was at the spearhead of that, bringing our community together, where there were literally a couple of thousand students around the community that would come several times a year to worship. We were a part of that. You and I and our church were a part of that. They got a bunch of volunteers. Oh, that's what I wanted to mention. You know there are how many volunteers there were this year in the children's ministry? 62. 62 of you volunteered. Yeah, thank God for you. There were 19-plus volunteers, I think, in the student ministry. I believe that's right. And then on missions, we've been doing missions. That's who we are, but just our missions council. We contribute as a church to 12 different ministries, both local and global. Different kinds, helping translate the Bible, helping people in Africa get clean water, local, the Metroplex Women's Clinic, Mission Arlington, just all kinds of different ways that we have contributed. Part of, again, why we give is so that we give so that we can give. Missions team went to Kenya. Have been going every year and took a team over there and were able to minister and share the gospel in huts, from hut to hut, and really help out. We help with school supplies there in those schools, and Chris Hayes and his team are very grateful for that. The Metroplex Women's Clinic, you know, this is where we have several people that volunteer, and you, through the collection of change, just change in your pocket, putting in baby bottles, collected almost $1,900 of change to give to the Metroplex Women's Clinic. We also give to them monthly. We also sponsored two tables at the annual banquet, and we had a great time there as we heard from those around the world that believe in pro-life, and so you're part of that. We had Connect Serves. We did four projects. Just recently, 56 children. Every child that submitted, every family that was submitted for having a great Christmas, we supported 56 children to have a great Christmas this year. So thank you. God did that through you. 13-plus families, we helped either keep them in their apartments, keep them in their car payments, make sure their heat and lighting bills and things like that, and helping people who just kind of went through those times that all of us go through. And through your giving, through your faithfulness, we as a church have been able to help families keep their homes, keep their cars, and keep their lights on. Thank you for that. I appreciate that as well. We have a quilting ministry. Who's in here from our quilting ministry? Raise your hand. We have a quilting ministry, and they made 44 quilts this year. Do you know what they do with those quilts? When somebody has a baby or somebody's in the hospital with cancer or somebody has need, they make these. They put a scripture verse on it. They put it on there from Connect Church, and they hand those out and give those out in the name of Jesus Christ and on behalf of the Connect Church. 44 quilts. You know how hard it is to make a quilt? Then I get all of that just excites me, and then now our worship has changed in the last 12 months. Would you agree? God brought to us a leader who has helped merge two teams to become one team. We have merged two distinct different worship teams and styles to become Connect's worship team. And when it started, there was, I think, 8.1, I think. I don't know how we get to 0.1. Maybe that was one too many muffins or something. I don't know. That were participating. And now on a routine basis, 13.1 are participating in our worship, and more are being added each week and to the ministry. There was new music technology and custom medium. That video that you just saw right before I got up here, that was produced by Carl's wife, Sherry. That's what she does for a living. And so we're introducing new things, and we're grateful for, as God sees fit, adding to the body. And our AV team, our ministry, our worship team has helped with student ministry, children ministry, outside ministries that come in, making sure that they have quality sound and picture. And then, how many of you were here for the Christmas Eve service? Yeah. You can't get excited about looking back at Christmas Eve service and having hope for the future. I'm sorry. We need to put some more wood on your fire and dump some gasoline on it, because your wood is wet, okay? And just exciting what God has done by bringing. And then to me, all of this, what God has answered prayer with our merge between Victory Church and Connect Church. God brought two distinct, unique families together to become one family who is better together. God did that in 2018. We now have an executive pastor, Pastor Aleem, who is not only just a pastor, he is a friend and a man of God that wants to take care and love on you and help us move into the future. And his wife, Tanya, God brought us Carl and Sherry Wagner to lead us as we have a new worship team. And God brought us new family. Remember, we talked about it, hey, cuz? You know, we're all related. We're all one big family. God did that in 2018. And if you were here, you got to be a part of something that most churches never experience in their lifetime. And if that doesn't get you excited about the future, I don't know what else to do. All in all, we had a great year at Connect Church. How can we not get excited about moving into 2019? Just looking back briefly at the last 12 months. But there's even a more impactful way. When you've gone through struggle, when you've experienced the good and the bad, and you're anxious about what the etch and sketch is going to hold for the future. The best way that I know how to prepare for the future is to remember what Jesus Christ did for you and for me, and how much God loves you and me. And the best way to remember what Jesus did for us is by celebrating what we call here at Connect the Table of Mercy. What you may call the Lord's Supper or communion or the Eucharist. It's taking of that bread and of that fruit of the vine and remembering what that means. And so just how we're going to end the service today, we're going to celebrate the Table of Mercy, and then we're going to sing a song. And then hopefully we'll go home with a renewed energy, a renewed excitement, a renewed commitment to whatever God has for us in the future. Because God is good. What we got to do, but God is good and all the time. And if he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, my Bible tells me that he will never leave us or forsake us. That his plans for us and for me is not to harm us or to curse us, but to bless us and to bring us into those green pastures. And I'm very, very excited about the future. But I want to point real quickly to, if you have your Bibles, you can turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And we're going to just look at a few verses there, starting in verse 23. Paul was talking to the church at Corinth, and they were having a little bit of struggle. And I think it was the timing of it. Corinth was one of those churches that if they wrote a book today, it would be How Not to Do Church for Dummies. You know, there was just a lot of infighting, a lot of stuff, politics stuff that didn't belong in the church. And Paul was always about pointing them back to Jesus, always pointing them back to Jesus, always pointing them back to Jesus. And that's what I want to do this morning, is I want to point us back to Jesus. And here's what he said. He said, "For I received from the Lord what I passed on to you." May that always be what we do here from the platform. If what we receive from God, we pass on. He says, "On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took bread." Now, some of you are going to get to go here in the next few weeks and go with us to Israel. I encourage you, if you haven't been, that at some point in the future, if God will allow, go to Israel. Because this scripture already, it begins to jump out, because where this took place, our group saying, "I love you, Lord, and I lift you up." And as it echoed through that building, one of the most amazing experience God has given me. But he says, on the night that he was betrayed, and we've been in Caiaphas's house where that happened, and right outside in that courtyard is where Peter denied Jesus three times. It was shortly before that Judas came or shortly after that, where Judas came and kissed him. And he said, before he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took bread. He gave thanks and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body, which is for you." Now, they didn't really truly understand what it meant back then. But I promise you, when they looked back, every time it happened from them, look at the scripture, they remembered Jesus. They remembered what it meant. It said, "This is my body, which is for you." And then look what the word says, "Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after supper, he also took the cup and said, "This cup is the new covenant established by my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often," now let me stop right there, The Bible never dictates how often we do it. Okay, let me just say that. There are some churches that they use this verse and say we're supposed to do it every Sunday. No, as often, he says, whenever you do it, basically, but do it in remembrance of me. Don't do it as a perfunctory religious thing. Don't do it because you have to. Do it in remembrance of me. So whenever we do it, we try to make it special. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And then he says, therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy way will be guilty of sin against the body and blood of the Lord. So a man should examine himself in this way. He should eat the bread and drink from the cup. Now, let me just kind of give you the cliff notes here. We are not to rush into this. We are to take time and make sure that our heart is right with the Lord and that our heart is right with one another before we take of the Lord's Supper, of the table of mercy. So I want to take just a minute, not long, but I would ask everyone here to bow your head and close your eyes and just get quiet before the Lord. Just get quiet before the Lord. And I just want you to just, in your own words, say, God, would you just see what's out of sync with you? What do I need to get right this morning? Because I want to remember you in this way. As God reveals whatever it is he's revealing to you right now, just simply tell him in your own words, God, I'm so sorry, I blew that. Or God, I need your help to fix that. God, I realize that wasn't in accordance with what you wanted me to do, and my life is out of whack there. I'm not doing what you want me to do. Here's the deal. Every head bowed, every eye closed. The Bible says that if we will confess our sins, it means agree. We're agreeing with God that it's outside of his will. If we will confess our sins, it says he will not only forgive us, but he cleanses us of all unrighteousness. In other words, he makes us ready to be able to participate in what we're about to do. Unconfessed sin hinders the movement and the Spirit of God. So in the quiet of this moment, Father, would you search our hearts? Would you show us what needs to get right? Would you amplify what this really means in our hearts and in our lives? Would you help us as we look back now, trust you with our lives, with our families' lives, with our finances, with our jobs, with our reputations, with everything, as we sang earlier, surrender all to you. Would you help us do that? Thank you for your forgiveness, for your mercy, and your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Twice in this scripture, twice, Paul mentions the word remembrance. He challenges his disciples to remember him when they celebrate the Lord's Supper. Here's the definition for remembrance. Webster defines it one way, but this passage describes it another way. So I want to tell you what we normally think about. Webster defines remembering as recalling, recollection, or holding in mind things that have already occurred. We just think about those. This passage, the nuances of the language here, adds definition to it. It really literally, quite literally means remember the past in such a way that the facts remembered will have an impact on the present. Let me say that again because I want you to catch this. Remembering is not just recollecting. Remembering is with a reason. And this scripture tells us that we are to remember the past in such a way that those facts remembered have an impact on the present. And if it'll have an impact on the present, it will lead us into the future. And very quickly, let me just point out four things that the table of mercy, which we're going to do in just a minute, helps us to do. Number one, it helps us remember the reality of his ransom. You cannot help but look at the bread and take of the cup and not remember the ransom that Jesus Christ paid for you and me. I can't possibly participate and not remember what he did for me. Think about it for a second. He's in heaven. He's at the right hand of the Father. And God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish but have everlasting life. What does that really mean? It cost Jesus his position in heaven. He had to choose to leave his position in heaven and all the glory of God and all of that, and come to earth and become part of this. It cost him his position, and he gladly did that. It cost him personal rejection to provide us the opportunity for eternal life. It cost him his personal desires. You don't believe that? Go back and read the recollection in the garden when he cried out to God. And oftentimes I think we skip over this. He says, God, if there is any way, this is Jay's translation, if there's any way out of this, can you show me? I don't want to do this. I really don't want to do this. I know what's out there and I know what's awaiting me, but God, not my will, but yours be done. It cost him his position. It cost him personal rejection. It cost him his personal desires. And ultimately on the cross, it cost him his physical body. We'll be talking about that in the coming weeks as we approach Easter. Paul told the church in Corinth, says, for Christ our Passover lamb has been sacrificed. When we take of the Lord's Supper, we need to think about the reality of his ransom. And then you have to say, why would he do that? Why would God do that for me? And the main reason, that the answer to the question why, is found in Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God demonstrates his own love for us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Love is what drove Jesus and led Jesus to the cross. Love for you. That's how much you are loved. Remember a couple of weeks ago when we were talking about Mary's experience, I wanted you to leave here knowing that you are highly favored and loved. He knows you by name. He knows where you're at. He knows what you're going through. And he still came and he sent his son for you. John 10:10, the motivation is Christ came so that you might have life abundantly. Doesn't mean it's going to come without heartache. Doesn't going to be that's going to come without challenge. We all know that to be true, right? There is no such thing as a bed of roses in this journey, this garden of life. But everything in that, he says, I'll be with you all the way. He never promises to get out of it. He always promises to go with us through it. And God gave his life so that we might have life, and he paid a price that we couldn't possibly pay. So when we celebrate the table of mercy here in a few minutes, take some time to think about the reality of his ransom, what it cost him. But there's a second thing. We need to remember the reality, the scripture talks about, that of his resurrection. We're proclaiming his return. And Matthew, this resurrection, again, I can't help. I was reading this week. I was sitting at home, and some friends, dear friends of ours, gave me a book that captured all of the path that we went on in Israel. And I'm standing there, and there's an empty tomb, and right beside it says, he has risen. He has risen. Jesus Christ is raised again. He is risen. And when we look back on that, in him we will also arise if we're in him. We will be resurrected. And in Matthew 28, the angel said, he's not here. He has risen just as he said. Take a look. Come and see the place where he lay. He said, then go quickly and tell his disciples. See, there's something about when we recognize his resurrection that it's coupled with our hearts, and our hearts are coupled with our mouth, and we can't help but tell people that Jesus Christ is alive. I wonder in our lives sometimes when we live our lives day to day and go about the mundane, and people look at our lives and they judge whether Christ is alive, I wonder if they can tell that he's alive. Friends, Jesus is alive. Jesus Christ was raised again, and Jesus Christ did that for us. Death was defeated. Praise God. You know, I was talking with my siblings this week, and I was talking to several other people. You and I do not mourn the way others mourn. Now, granted, I would have missed my mom had she not come out of surgery, but I will see my mom if she had not come out of surgery. We'll be known as we're known, and my mom knows Jesus Christ personally. So guess what? We're going to be neighbors. Some of you have experienced that in your lives this year, and it's tragic, and it's okay to mourn because mourn is a sign of love, but mourn differently because in Christ we will see each other again. It's not an end, it's a new beginning. And so when we remember that, we know, and death is defeated, and it gives us hope of eternal life, became our reality because of what Jesus did on the cross. I love this verse in 1 Corinthians 15 and 55, he says, where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, He gives us, the believers, the saved, the victory through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When we take of the Lord's Supper, we remember that not only did He pay a price for us, but there's also a position for us, and He is going to, He is resurrected and He's coming back, which is the third reality we need to remember. There's going to be a second advent. Remember the reality of His return. Jesus Himself said in John 14, He says, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." Don't you want to be where Jesus is? Don't you want to be with your Lord and Savior? Don't you want to be and experience the heaven? I don't know what all heaven is, but it's got to be better than this. Amen. And we remember that reality in the book of Revelation. It's got a lot of symbolism, but one of the things, the reality and the truth, that He says, look, He's coming with the clouds, and every eye will see Him, even those who pierced Him, and all the peoples of the earth will mourn because of Him. So shall it be. And the reason that the people of the earth are going to mourn, because they're not ready for the second advent. But we as believers can rejoice because we're ready for His return. And we can say, like the writer of Revelation at the end, even so, come quickly. Ever felt like that? You can just go ahead and come get me right now. I tell people when they ask me about death, I'm not afraid of death. I'm really not looking forward to the dying part. I hope He takes me quickly. Because I know the moment that I pass from this life, I am in eternal life. And death has no victory over me, and He doesn't have victory over you because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross and what God did when He rolled back the stone and He said, come forth. And finally, we need to remember the reality of our readiness. And we just talked about that, about praying and being ready in our own hearts. The psalmist said this, and this is probably the most dangerous prayer in the Bible. But I want you to be courageous and pray it. Search me, O God. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Man, 2019, for some, we don't know the answers. But as believers, we know the one who holds the answers. Our job is not to know everything. Our job is to know the one that knows everything. Our job is to hold, reach and grab Him by the hand and go where He tells us to go. Be who He tells us to be. Say what He tells us to say. That's our job. He's the one that sees over the hill and around the corner. Our job is to simply hold on to Him. We've got to search ourselves. See if any offensive way, and then lead me in the way everlasting. Matthew 5 says, talking about worshiping, He said, you know, if you're there worshiping, if you're offering your gift at the altar, and worship is our gift or response to God. He said, if you're offering your gift at the altar, and there while you're doing it, you remember that your brother has something against you, stop right there is what He's saying. Leave your gift at the altar, in the front of the altar. Go and be reconciled. First, go get reconciled with your brother, then come and offer your gift. You see, how can we not be reconciled with one another when we look back and see that Jesus was our reconciler? That He reconciled us back to our Creator with the offering that He gave. The table of mercy. I'm going to ask those I'm going to ask the band to come and those who will be serving this morning to go ahead and come. What we're going to do, I think we have four or five stations. We want to take just a minute. Carl's just going to start playing. And I want you to just, again, not rush into this. I want you to think about those things that we talked about. Those who are serving, go ahead and take your positions. I want you to think about what it cost Jesus. I want you to think about that you can go to any other grave in the world and there is representation, or there are bones, or there are something there. But when you go to Israel and you go to the garden tomb and you look into that tomb, we know that He's not there. He's in heaven and He's coming back again, which is the third thing. We're ready for His return. So our responsibility is readiness. Our responsibility is to be prepared. And that happens first in the heart. So what will happen is, I'm going to say a prayer. The praise team is going to begin to sing as the Lord leads. I encourage you to step up out of your chairs, go to one of these positions. You'll take a piece of this cracker. This is unleavened, really, because if you look at it, it has holes in it, and it has some stripes where it went through the baking process, and it made stripes on it. You know, the Bible says that he was pierced for our transgressions, and it's by his stripes we are healed. That's what this bread represents of what he did because he loves you. That's how much he loves you. This cup, when you look inside that cup, you'll see that it's, I'm sure it's grape juice, but it represents his blood that was shed for you. As his lifeblood flowed out and the sacrifice says paid in full, his life was being poured into us and we were now being made full. John chapter 10, verse 10. You'll come and take this. You can serve one another. You can serve, come as a family, you can come as an individual. But how we do it here just is you just take it. You're not going to drink from the cup. You'll take the bread. You'll dip it into the, and then take the bread and return to your seat. And then we'll go out with a song today. But let me pray. And then as God leads you, would you participate in remembering with encouragement as we move forward. Father, in Jesus' name, in the power of your Holy Spirit, I thank you, God, that we're highly favored. I thank you that you know us. I thank you that you sent Jesus, God, to die on a cross because I couldn't hope to pay the price, the ransom that was required, but you sent the best, your one and only Son. And God, I thank you that because of him, I can have life eternal, but I can also live life for him now in the present, and I can do that with joy and peace that doesn't make sense. I can get through the hard times by leaning into him and onto him and knowing that he's there with me. Jesus, I thank you for your obedience. Holy Spirit, I thank you for your presence and your teaching and your encouragement and your strength. I thank you for your body, the church. I thank you, God, that we have this opportunity to remember you as we press forward. So now, God, I pray that as we worship you in this way, that you would find it acceptable, that it would bring a smile across your face, and that it would encourage us. In Jesus' name.